Questions 39 through 42. Listen to a talk given during a campus tour.
Hi, my name's Tammy Mullen, and I'll be your guide on our campus tour. As we walk through the campus, I'll provide a bit of history about the college, and I'll describe some of our fine academic programs. Right now, we're standing in the lobby of the Boyd Memorial Library. This library is named after Alexander Boyd, its first director and greatest benefactor. Thanks to Dr. Boyd's fine efforts, library development got off to a very good start here, and the Boyd Library now houses over 800,000 volumes, including periodicals and newspapers. We also have more than 60,000 maps and 2,000 photographs in our collection. All of the library's collections are arranged for easy student access. There are comfortable study and reading lounges. In addition, more than 500 individual student study desks are located in the library within easy reach of reference materials and library stacks. Are there any questions about the library? Good. Then let's move on to the Klein Biology Building. If we're lucky, the greenhouse will be open and we can take a peek inside.
Number 39. Where does this talk take place? Number 40. Who is the speaker probably talking to? Number 41. Who was Alexander Boyd? Number 42. Where will the speaker probably go next?
This is the end of Side A. Please turn over the cassette to continue.
Questions 43 through 46. Listen to a lecturer in a hotel management school talk about hotel theft.
Hotel guests don't just take the shampoo and soap that we leave for them. They also help themselves to pillows, blankets, lamps, towels, ashtrays, even bathroom fixtures. People who lead otherwise honest lives take just about anything they can get their hands on in a hotel, even things that are bolted down. American hotels and motels lose more than $85 million worth of goods each year. Although this is a disgraceful statistic, there is not much that we, as hotel and motel managers, can do about it. Catching thieves may actually be bad for business. We would have to either install hidden cameras in rooms and hallways, or search guests and their luggage before they leave the hotel. Either option would be very unpleasant for the guests as well as for us. We might also mistakenly accuse some guests who haven't taken anything. Even if we did catch some people stealing hotel property, it would not be worth it. Fortunately, our business still takes in a lot more money from our guests than they take from us. The cost of thievery is just another hidden expense which we have to absorb. And there may be a good side to all of this. Remember, we put our company name on almost everything in the hotel room. The honeymoon couple, looking for a memento of their stay with us, might take a towel embroidered with our name and remember us for many years to come. It's bad behavior on the part of our guests, but good advertising for us.
Number 43. What is the main purpose of this talk? Number 44. Why is catching hotel thieves, according to this speaker, potentially bad for business? Number 45. Why do hotels and motels often put their name on articles in the rooms? Number 46. According to the speaker, why are honeymoon couples often hotel thieves? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to a lecture about flying squirrels given by a naturalist at a natural science museum.
Flying squirrels do not really fly. Birds and bats can fly. Flying squirrels are masters of gliding. Since they have no true wings, they cannot add power or maintain level flight. The flying squirrel likes to begin its glide in the top of a tree. It springs into the air and stretches all four legs out at right angles from its body. A flap of skin called a podagium extends from the squirrel's wrist to its ankle on each side. This skin acts as a sail and allows the squirrel to glide in the air. The downward glide is usually at an angle of 40 to 50 degrees and may take the squirrel over 150 feet. Special muscles control the tension of the podagium on each side so that the flying squirrel can adjust the angle or speed and direction of the glide. The squirrel's flat tail does most of the steering. Slight twists allow the squirrel to avoid hitting twigs and tree trunks in its path. Flying squirrels prefer to end their glide on the trunk of a tree. This feat is accomplished by bringing the tail up sharply, a maneuver which brings the body to a vertical position for landing and slows momentum. In thick woods, flying squirrels usually jump from branch to branch. If the trees are farther apart, the squirrels glide from the top of one to the trunk of another, which they must climb to continue their journey. Before taking questions, let's go out back to meet Sam, our own resident flying squirrel. Maybe he'll cooperate and show us how he glides.
Number 47. What is the speaker's main point? Number 48. According to the speaker, what is a function of the flying squirrel's tail? Number 49. Why do flying squirrels usually jump from tree to tree in thick woods? Number 50. Who is Sam? This is the end of Section 1 of TOEFL Practice Test 4. Stop work on Section 1 now. Turn off your cassette player.